Well, finally, you got to meet a biblical beauty do. In week 5 of Beauty by the Book for Teens, you studied a captivating young woman, and her name was Ruth. And Ruth is one of my favorite females in all of the Bible. You studied Ruth. You looked at her love story. You even met the man that she eventually married. His name was Boaz. This week's homework to me is so important, and this week's lesson as we study together is very, very critical, because probably most of you want to date one day if you aren't already, and many of you want to marry. So I want to ask you, how are you going to become the kind of young woman who will attract the right kind of guy, God's guy for your life? How are you going to become a captivating young woman, and how are you going to be able to recognize the kind of man that God wants for you? Well, that's just what we're going to talk about in this week's lesson of Beauty by the Book for Teens. Okay, we're going to start off this session. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I want you to be honest, okay? Just be honest. You don't have to raise your hand, just answer these questions in your heart. How many of you would like to date? Eventually, maybe you're already dating. If you're not dating, how many of you eventually would like to date a guy, okay? Most girls, I think, probably would like to if they're not. How many of you would like to marry, okay? I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, okay? One day, if you think, you know, I really think I'd like to get married, would you raise your hands? That's the clear majority here, and that's an awesome thing, and I just want you to know it's okay. That's a good thing. I know a lot of times today girls are really, really encouraged to put a lot of other things first and to make the other things priority and all that, and understand there's a right time in your life, there's a right guy in your life, and we're going to talk about those things today, but I want you to know that if you want to get married one day, that's an awesome goal, okay? That is an awesome goal, and in fact, marriage is the very first thing that God created. When He created a man and a woman for life, He created marriage in the relationship change first, okay? The relationship chain first of all. It's the very first institution that God created, and He blessed it. There's a great book in the Bible, and we didn't study it in our study last week, but it's the book called Song of Solomon, and it's all about love. Love between a man and a woman, okay? Between a bride and her bridegroom and their marriage, and it is just a beautiful, beautiful book. You studied this week, though, another great book in the Bible, a book called the Book of Ruth, and in the Book of Ruth, you meet, of course, Ruth, okay, a young woman. And you also meet a man who eventually becomes her husband. And it is just a beautiful love story. And in the Book of Ruth, what I hope you saw were some beautiful, beautiful characteristics in her life that made her a captivating young woman, okay? She was the kind of woman who was fascinating, okay? She was the kind of woman who was attractive, okay? She was attractive not just to guys. She was attractive to other people. People looked at her and they said, she's got something going on. She's special. They saw things in her life. She was attractive, and she was fascinating. And she's the kind of model, girls, that you and I want to follow if we want to become the kind of girl, a godly girl, who can attract a godly guy, okay? So we're going to study Ruth. But I just want to encourage you, listen, if you want to get married, you begin praying now, Lord, show me the right guy. And I'm going to talk to you today about how you can find the right guy, okay? How you can recognize him. And we're going to talk about how a godly girl can attract a godly guy. So let's look at some steps. We're going to do 1, 2, and 3, and we're going to look at some steps of how a godly girl can attract a godly guy. If you want to be a girl who dates one day and a girl who eventually marries, then the first thing you need to do is this. Step 1, you need to embrace God's standard as your standard, okay? Embrace God's standard for dating and for marriage as your standard. Only date or only marry a Christian, a believer, okay? If you're a Christian and you read this week and you studied it in your Bible study, you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness, okay? I don't care how cute he is, okay? I don't care how much he promises you that one day he'll go to church and he'll be a good guy for you, okay? You don't want a good guy. You want a godly guy, okay? You want a guy who possesses the characteristics right now that you can see. You don't want empty promises, girl. You want a believer. You want somebody that you can see that he really is the real deal, okay? And that's God's standard for you. He wants you to wait and to date the kind of guy that he wants you to date, because the one you date will eventually become someone you marry. So that's what you've got to do first. Embrace God's standard as your standard. And that by that little number one right there, Girls, I'm going to ask you to do something. On your little listening guide, I want you to make a star by number one, okay? Because, girls, this will save you lots and lots of heartache, okay? Dating guys that just really and truly are going to break your heart, okay? That if you'll do that, now that's going to limit your pool, isn't it? That's going to limit the pool of guys that you can date and limit the pool of guys that you can marry. But I'll tell you what, if you'll do that, God will direct you, okay? He'll direct your path to the right guy. And to back that up, I want to turn your Bibles to Psalm 37, verse 3, okay? Most of you said you want to marry one day. And I've told you, and God's Word tells you, that God's standard for you is that you marry a believer. And that God was the one who created marriage, and He blesses it. And He says that's a good goal for you to have, to marry one day, okay? And here's what He says in Psalm 37, verse 3. He says, trust in the Lord and do good, okay? Make sure that your relationship with Him is that you have a relationship, that you have become, that you become a Christian. Delight yourself in the Lord, He says in verse 4, and He will give you, what does it say? The desires of your heart, okay? He will give you the desires of your heart. You've said you desire to marry, okay? He wants you to. He says, delight yourself in me, and I want to give you the desires of your heart. So, girls, step number two is this. Step number two is you've got to give God priority in your life, okay? By following Ruth's example, and we're going to talk about Ruth from this point on until we begin to kind of in a few minutes talk about that guy that God led her to. It was, his name was Boaz. And follow Ruth's example. You can become a captivating young woman, and the first thing you have to do to become a captivating young woman is do what it says there in Proverbs, in Psalm chapter 37, that you've got to delight in the Lord, okay? You've got to make Him and give Him first place in your heart and in your life. You got to become a woman who gives God priority. First, you know, a lot of times what you want to do at this age is you just want to think, you know, pursue guys. They come to the top of the list, kind of, you know, especially as you get older, you just think, you know, I want to find the right guy. Girls, I know it sounds crazy and I know it's hard to do, but girls, if you put God first and not guys first, God will take care of that guy. He'll get you to the right guy because He'll see that. And if you delight yourself in Him, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. He's promised to do that. And so we see that Ruth was a woman that really did give God priority in her life. And that story about Ruth, you see her and you see her mother-in-law. Do you remember what her mother-in-law's name was? Remember? That's right. It was Naomi. And Naomi's husband died. And then Ruth's husband died, who was Naomi's son. And so they were living in a land that was kind of a foreign land, and Naomi decided it was time she moved back home, okay, because she was a widow, and there was her daughter-in-law Ruth with her, and there was another daughter-in-law she had, so they decided to get on the road and go back to Naomi's home in Bethlehem in Israel. And they got on the road, and these three widows are going on this road. They have nothing. They're hoping they can get back to Bethlehem and that people will be kind to them. Because back then, widows didn't inherit their husband's estate. Her husband had some land back there, but she couldn't inherit that. And so she was going back to Bethlehem hoping that her relatives there and that the people of Bethlehem would be kind to her. And on the road to Bethlehem, it says that the Orpha, and she was Ruth's sister, she said to Naomi, she said, oh, I love you, I'm going to go with you. But eventually she turned around and she went back to her land, okay? And it says, and she went back to her gods. And then Naomi looked at Ruth, and she said, baby, it's probably time for you to go back too. I can't promise you anything when we get to Bethlehem. I don't even know what's there for both of us. Why don't you just go on back and join your sister? And look what Ruth said. I want you to turn to the book of Ruth, and I want you to see these beautiful words that a lot of people use during their wedding ceremony. And maybe they don't even realize this. These were words that a young woman spoke to her mother-in-law, of all people. This is what Ruth spoke to her mother-in-law. When her mother-in-law told her, you ought to just turn around and go on back home too, because I don't know what there is for us in Bethlehem. I have no idea. In Ruth chapter 1, okay, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, here's what Ruth said to Naomi when Naomi told her, you just need to go back home. Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you live, I'm going to live. Your people are going to be my people, and your God will be my God. Girls, that day, Naomi could not could not convince Ruth to do anything other than what Ruth wanted to already do. She was ready to follow Naomi, and she was saying, I'm also wanting to follow your God. I want to be with you and your people, and I want to follow and worship your God. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And girls, that was a decision there to give God priority, okay? It was a complete decision by faith, okay? She didn't know. She didn't know what the people would be like. She was a foreigner. She was going back to Israel. She was from a land of Moab, where people were they were very different than the people in Bethlehem. But she chose to follow God. She gave Him priority in her life, and that is step number two. You got to follow Ruth's example and give God priority in your life. Well, we see the second thing that Ruth did that I believe was so attractive that made her the kind of captivating young woman that she was, is that she learned she was able to earn the respect of others, okay? When she got to Bethlehem, even though she was a foreigner, even though she was a land where they worshiped many other idols and different gods and things like that, people probably initially looked down on her a little bit, but this girl earned their respect, okay? How did she do that? Well, you saw her one morning, she and Naomi, a lot of people believe they were probably living in a cave together, okay? They were probably living in a cave, and they were probably hungry. And it was harvest time in Bethlehem. And Ruth woke up one morning, and she looked at her mother-in-law, and I think their stomachs were growling. And Ruth said, Mom, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go out. They're harvesting, and I'm going to go try to pick up some leftovers that some of the harvesters have left behind. We need food. I'm going to go find us some food. And her mother said, that's a good thing. And she said, may the Lord lead your steps to the right field and to a place where they'll take care of you. Because, girls, it was a dangerous thing for a young woman to get out during harvest time. Things could happen in a field. Men could take advantage of you there. And there's a young woman who's a foreigner, and she's not well known in the city. But she went to a field, and it says she left that morning. And I want to ask you something. When she left that little cave probably that morning, do you think she knew where she was going? Do you think she thought, I've heard about this rich man, and he has this field, and they're harvesting over there. He would make a good husband for me. He could provide for me. Do you think she set out to find her a man that morning? She did not. She was a girl who gave God priority and who just wanted to eat. And she wanted to take care of the mother-in-law she loved. And it says there in the first part of chapter 2 that God led her steps to a field of a man named Boaz. And girls, here's the truth. She had no idea that that day God was leading her to her future husband, to the man who was going to take care of her and who was going to take care of her mother-in-law. She was just getting up and going out to help, to work, to feed, to provide, and to honor her mother-in-law. And God led her to the path that He had for her life. She delighted herself in the Lord, and He directed her path. He was about to give her the desires of her heart. She was a woman then who earned the respect of others. When she got there to that field, we see that others recognized her and they watched her work and they saw her character and they saw what she was like by the way she behaved there among the other workers and among the other harvesters. And one of the ways that she was able to earn their respect was through her virtuous character, okay? Her virtuous character. We see in Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, you can look there with me. At Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, we see her character. We see that Boaz, the man who owns the field, this rich man, notices her. He sees her because she's different. She's not the same old usual people that showed up every day. And he asked about her. And he found out some things about her. He asked his foreman, who is that young woman? I've never seen her here before. And here's some of the things that he learned about her and that he later told her that people had told him about her. We see in verse 10 that Ruth, is called into Boaz. He wants to talk to her. And he's been very kind to her. And Boaz says in verse 11, I know everything about you and all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard how you left your father and your mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. I want you to put yourself in Ruth's shoes. She has showed up like a little migrant worker, a broken little widow with a hungry stomach. And here comes this rich man, and he noticed her, and he found out about her, and he said, I want you to come over here, darling. Come over here. He said, I've heard about everything you've done for your mother-in-law. I've heard that you left your family and you left your gods in Moab, and you've come here to find shelter in our land and to find God's blessing. And he that day told her, he said, I'm going to take care of you, basically. What he did was he told his workers, you purposefully throw things down in her path. You take that barley and you throw it so she can pick it up. She didn't even have to, girls hardly work for it. He knew about her virtuous character. People recognize that in Ruth, and girls, they'll recognize that in you as well. And so will guys. She earned the respect of others by her character, but she also earned the respect of others by her willingness to work. Okay? They saw her working. One of the foremen and one of the people that day in the field told Boaz when he first saw her and asked, he said, this girl's been here all day and she's been hard at work. Okay? What this tells you about Ruth was that she was no spoiled brat princess girl. Okay? That's not what she was. She was a girl who was willing to get her hands dirty. She was a girl who wasn't too good to work. She was a girl who was willing to work for what she needed. And that's something that I believe Boaz respected about her as well. She continued to work through the barley harvest, and at the end of the barley harvest, they had a wheat harvest. So she stayed, and there was some time that she stayed there in the field of Boaz for several weeks and perhaps even a month or two. And so during that time, I really do believe that Boaz was watching her and that he was kind of falling for her. I think he was. And I think she was seeing, and I know she was, because he was kind to her. He sent her home. He told her, listen, you take this back to your mother-in-law. He gave her extra for her mother-in-law. He said, you come over here and eat with my servants. You can drink the water from my well over here. She didn't have to eat out there in the fields with some of the old hired help that could have been dangerous and could have hurt her. He protected her. He told the men in the field, you better be good to her, guys. That's what he did. He said, you better not do anything bad to her. I think he wanted to protect her. And I think, in a way, through the months that she was there, the month or two she was there harvesting, I think he was falling in love with Ruth. That's just my personal opinion, okay? And I think she was seeing, this guy is some kind of a guy. The first day she was in her field, in Boaz's field, she went home, and Naomi said this to her. She said, well, gosh, you've got all this food for us, Ruth. Where did you get this? And Ruth said, well, I went to the field of a guy named Boaz. And then Naomi said, oh, my word, he is a distant relative of ours. He is a good man. You've done well. You've done well. He'll take care of us. And that's exactly what he was doing. Well, we see that the story moves on. And we see that in the third chapter of Ruth, Ruth is asked to do something as the barley harvest comes to an end and the wheat harvest comes to an end. Her mother-in-law, I think Naomi, was watching things happen between Ruth and between Boaz, okay? I think she recognized they both had some kind of an attraction to one another, okay? I think she did. The harvest is ended. The food supply is fixing to be over with. And so one day when Ruth comes home with the last of the harvest, her mother-in-law Naomi says, baby, I want to do something for you, and this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to get all bathed, and I want you to put on your perfume and your best clothes. Fix yourself up. And tonight, I want you to go down to Boaz's barn where he's at the threshing floor. He would have been down there processing the wheat. And she said, I don't want you to let him see you, but when he falls asleep, I want you to go to his feet. Now, girls, can you imagine this? Go to his feet, lay down at his feet, and then he will tell you what to do, basically. Can you imagine? What would you have done? That would have scared the living life out of me. It really would have. But you know what she did? It says Ruth did everything that Naomi told her to do. This is a huge leap of faith. Because what she's going to do when he wakes up in the middle of the night and he finds this woman there, what did she do to him? Here's what she said. Basically, she said, he said, what have you done? He recognized her and she said, please. Please, I've come to you for refuge. Would you spread your covering over me? When she picked up part of his robe when he woke up. And what she was saying, girl, was this. I want you to commit to me. I want you to be my provider, my protector. I want you to marry me. That's basically what she was saying. Girls, it came to a point where a commitment needed to be made, and Naomi saw that, and she told Ruth to go do something that was huge, okay? And it was probably a little scary, but we saw Boaz respond, didn't he? And what did he do? He said, you have done good. You hadn't chosen one of those old young guys out there, and you could have, you pretty thing. But he said, you know what you've chosen? You've chosen what God, you've chosen me, an older man. Listen, I think he thought he was probably too old for her. And he probably wouldn't have ever made the first move because he was older than she was. And he wouldn't try to take advantage of her. And that night, when she lay down at his feet, you know what he could have done in that barn? He could have done just about anything he'd ever wanted to do with a woman that night in that barn. She was helpless. But he was a man that was respectful. He was a man that was godly, and he was a man who gave God priority in his life just like she did in her life. Well, we'll move along on your handout there, and here's what I want you to see, is if you want to follow Ruth's example, girls, you got to take care of your physical appearance somewhat. You really do, okay? When she got ready, and Naomi told her to go that evening to the barn and to lay at his feet, she told her, you wear your best stuff. You make sure you put on your best perfume. You look your best. And girls, I'm sorry, but this is just the truth of the matter of it. I love comfortable, you know, old just kind of sweats and t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. But girls, guys are visual, okay? And you need to be physically attractive. Now, I'm not talking about the perfect weight, the perfect body. I don't think guys are as that much into it. But when they see somebody who does not take care of themselves physically, okay, they know something's wrong with this girl, okay? It puts a question in their mind. They see that as a form of somebody who's got some issues, okay? Somebody's got some, and it makes them less attractive. You need, as Ruth did, to become and to take care of your physical appearance, all right? Guys are visual, so you need to take care of your physical appearance. Number four, do not compromise your sexual purity. Girls, Ruth could have gone down there, and she could have seduced him, okay? Nobody would have known. They were all alone. She could have been down there, and she could have done just what any immoral woman would have done, and she could have batted her eyelashes at him, and she could have not laid at his feet. She could have laid at his side and put her arm around him and done all kinds of things, okay? She could have seduced him, but she did not compromise her sexual purity, and you should not do that either. If you want to attract a godly guy, it is not necessary for you to compromise your sexual purity. And then number five, there's a point. And you think he's the guy, and he's a godly guy, okay, he meets the criteria that we're going to talk about in a minute. And maybe he's kind of hesitant, and maybe things have gone on for a while, and there's time for the relationship needs to move on to another commitment, okay? Ruth basically had to make the first move there. And girls, I would just tell you, some guys, they're going to hesitate, and they're going to string you along for years. And they're going to say, I need a commitment. You know, I mean, where's this relationship going? We've been dating for this long. We've been going together for years and stuff. I'm ready to marry. Oh, well, then, baby, come move in with me. That's what they'll say. Some guys will. Listen, they'll say, they won't commit. And this is a point, listen, you need to make sure that you know comes a time when you need to let your desire, number five, for a commitment to marry be known, okay? Don't let a guy string you along for years and years and years with no commitment, okay? With no commitment. There comes a time when you need to say, hey, I'm ready for a commitment. Are you? All right? And if he's not, move on, okay? Move on. Don't give some guy precious years of your life waiting for him to commit. If he's not going to commit, then you need to move on. My husband and I, he never got down on his knees. He never proposed to me. But from what I recall of all that happened was this. I began talking. We were both in college at the time. And we've been dating for a while. We'd known each other for years. And we both really did know that it was kind of unspoken that we were going to marry each other. But it had never been spoken. And one evening we were together, and I was telling him about a young man at college that wanted to date me. And he said, well, you're not going to date him, are you? And I said, well, why shouldn't I? I mean, I don't have a ring. I'm not committed. I didn't say that. And he said, well, I don't want you to date anybody else. And girls, what I knew he was saying, what we both knew at that moment was it was time to make a commitment. And within hours, really within just a short amount of time, my husband now went over to my daddy, and he talked to my daddy. Girls, he went and talked to my daddy, and this was a kind of a big deal back then. And he asked for my hand in marriage, and girls, that was for me a great thing that he would be willing to do something like that for me and show his commitment to me. And so my daddy said yes, but he said this, Billy, I want you to buy her a ring. And I want y'all to get a date on the calendar, okay? It's one thing to have a ring. It's another thing to have a date, okay? Some guys will give you a ring, and you'll wear it until it's just, you know, it's just worn out, basically. You got to get a ring. You got to get a date. It's what my daddy told him. And within a year, we were married. There comes a point when a commitment needs to be made. And if one's not, girls, don't waste years of your life waiting for a commitment that's never going to come. Well, she met a godly guy named Boaz. And this man... is a man that the kind of model that you and I can look to. If we're looking for a godly guy, let's look at Boaz and let's see what he had going on for him and what kind of character he had. Because to me, he is a great role model for the kind of guy that you should marry one day. Boaz, first of all, you can recognize a godly guy by this. Number one, he will give God priority in his life, okay? He will give God priority in his life. You will see evidence of his relationship with God in his life, okay? And you learned this week, how do you see evidence that somebody really does have a great relationship with the Lord? You see the fruit, Jesus says. You see love, joy, peace, patience. You see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their life. You begin to see these kinds of things, and then you can know. Because some guys will say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, we go to church at my house occasionally and things like that. No, listen, you be real careful. You watch his life, and you see, is he kind? Is he patient? Is he loving? And things like that. And girls, if he's not, you walk away, okay? You don't want to get hooked up with somebody who just talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk, okay? Number two, a guy that is a godly guy, you'll be able to recognize him because he will be respected by other people. Boaz was a man that others respected. He was influential in his community. Others respected and others looked up to him. His laborers, the people that were closest to him, the people that worked for him, had respect for him. You could see that in chapter 2. You could see that the men in the community in chapter 4, they also had respect for him and that he was among the leaders there in his city. Pay attention, girls, if somebody's telling you that this guy has a bad reputation, you don't need to ignore that and say, oh, no, you know, I mean, he's law. You need to pay attention to those kinds of things, and those things are red flags. You want to marry a guy that other people respect, okay? What kind of reputation does he have? What kind of work history does he have? Is he somebody who's just going to wait for you to be the one to carry the whole load all the time financially in your marriage, okay? If he's this kind of guy who's always quitting jobs and goes for long periods without working and doesn't seem to be very motivated about income and is asking you when you're finally going to get finished with college and get your this and that and that, yeah, so how much are you going to be making one day and all this kind of stuff. Listen, if he's doing like that with you, you need to be real, real cautious because a guy like that, it is not going to be a guy that you're going to even respect one day yourself. Number three, he will protect you, okay? I love the way that Boaz protected Ruth from the very beginning. As soon as she came into his field and as soon as he noticed her, he began to protect her. He drew her aside. He found out about her before he even drew her aside. And he said, here, I'm going to help you. He protected her, and a godly guy will protect you, and he will protect you, and he will protect your purity, okay? He won't pressure you. He won't pressure you sexually. Drop any guy, too, girls, who is verbally or physically or emotionally abusive to you, okay? Who is negative, who is critical, who is controlling to you. That's a danger, danger sign. A man who is a godly man will protect you. And then fourthly, a man who is a godly guy is a man who will provide for you, okay? He'll provide for you. From the minute he met Ruth, that's what he did for her. He began to try to meet needs and take care of her, just basic needs. He was a guy who took care of her. And that's the kind of guy that you want to marry. My husband, for many, many years, I was a stay-at-home mom with my kids. And I got to watch my kids grow up. It was a full-time job for me, and I loved every single minute of it. And girls, I would have never been able to do it except my husband encouraged me to do that because he was a great provider, okay? He worked and he did extra things and made extra income, and he enabled me to be able to become the woman that I wanted to be, because my first goal in life when I was young was that I wanted to be married and I wanted to be a mom, and my husband let me be a mom, and he let me do that because he was a great provider for us, and he continues to be. I'm at a different stage in my life, and my husband has just encouraged me at this stage in my life to begin to travel and to speak and things like that, and it's wonderful in this season of my life, but I'm so grateful that he has been a great provider for us all these years. Well, number five, girls, a godly guy will make a commitment to you, and he will publicly follow through with it. He will publicly follow through with it. Do you remember what Boaz said that night at the barn when she said, please spread your covering over me? She said, would you be my provider? Would you be my man, is basically what she was saying. And he said yes. And he said, Ruth, you go on home. You go on home. And I will go take care of this matter. Girls, the very next morning, the first thing the next morning, did you see what Boaz did in chapter 4? He got up that next morning and he went into town. Because, see, there was another man in town who could have redeemed Ruth and her mother-in-law. He could have, and in redeeming her, would mean that he would become the person who got Naomi's husband's land, okay? There was a man that could have redeemed and had that land, and it would have included getting Naomi, and it would have included getting Ruth as well. And so Boaz had to go and talk to those people. And he said, do you want to redeem Ruth? Do you want to take the land that Naomi's husband has left behind? And that man at first said, yeah, I think I'll do that. But then he got to thinking about it, and he said, no, I better not, because if I do that, then I have to marry Ruth. Because when you redeem somebody, you had to also marry the living, the young daughter-in-law. And so we see that Boaz the very next morning got up, went and took care of that. And that very day, girls, it says that he took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. And then we see, not very many months later, we see a family, and we see a baby, and we see a story in Ruth chapter 1 that started out so bleak, with two women who had nothing and pretty much nobody except one another. And we see an ending in chapter 4 that is absolutely beautiful, because we see some people in the book of Ruth who gave God priority and who followed God's way and not the culture's way to marriage. A godly man will make a commitment to you, and he will publicly follow through with it. Well, most of you are just like I was when I was your age, okay? Things haven't changed all that much. Most of you girls want to marry one day. Most of you girls, some of you girls are already dating, and I'm just encouraging you, oh, girls, don't settle, okay? I'm going to tell you what my friend Christy says, who's one of my favorite friends. She says this, don't settle for a bozo, okay? Girls, wait for a Boaz, okay? And as you're waiting, become that captivating young woman who will be an attractive and a fascinating young woman to a godly guy. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Ruth and Boaz. Father, I thank you for these girls. And Lord, I thank you that they raised their hands a while ago in a world that puts marriage so far down the priority chain. Lord, I just thank you that these girls would say that's something they want in the future. And Lord, I'm grateful for that. And I pray, oh God, that you would just find them delighting themselves in you, giving you priority in their lives. And that, Father, you would do for them just exactly what you did for Ruth. Lord, your word says that you are no respecter of persons. Lord, that you don't care for one of us more than you care for another person. And Lord, we just pray what you did for Ruth, Lord. What you did for Ruth, I pray you'll do for each and every one of these girls who have studied Ruth's life. Oh, Father, lead them. It's your will for them to marry to a Boaz, God, to a godly guy. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.